We meet in the name of God, creator of the universe, source of true humanity, sustainer of all. We meet in the name of Jesus, word made flesh, savior of fallen humanity, lover of all. We meet in the name of the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, midwife of new humanity, inspirer of all. Come then, eternal God, be present here, befriend us here, renew us here. Let's continue to sing, "Here I Am to Worship."
Our Bible reading today is from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from death. They prepared a dinner for him there, which Martha helped to serve. Lazarus was one of those who were sitting at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took half a litre of a very expensive perfume made of pure nard, poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The sweet smell of the perfume filled the whole house. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would help himself from it. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep what she has for the day of my burial. You will always have poor people with you, but you will not always have me." This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to welcome those visitors who are with us, but especially welcome Sister Patricia Fox. Pat, I think, brought some of her own groupies today, so that's good. But nothing like in the Philippines, where if you're there, Pat's groupies would fill this room to overflowing. Pat arrived in the Philippines in 1990, I think. I arrived first in the Philippines in 1989. I went to Mindoro, which is south of Luzon, to work with the indigenous people in the mountains. But even in the mountains, I kept hearing of this. Do you know Pat Fox, that Australian nun? But it wasn't till much later that I actually got to know Pat much better. Pat is humble, unassuming. I've seen her on protests and picket lines where she'll go up, this very sweet, older Catholic nun, and talk very amicably to the police on the barricades about all sorts of things. And her simplicity is disarming. But within Pat is a strength that people have come to recognise, especially amongst the farmers and the poor in the Philippines. The president of the Philippines, President Rodrigo Duterte, went out of his way to ask the immigration department to get Pat out of the country. He has a dislike of strong women, which he's made very public in many public statements. He has a dislike of people of faith who pursue an agenda of justice, which he has made very public. And he has a commitment basically to kill people who disagree with him and people who he thinks are criminals. Pat stood up against this regime of murder and she was thrown out. But before she left the Philippines, in nearly every place around the city of Manila and beyond, there were huge, massive gatherings of support, because what Pat had done was to open her heart to the poorest of the poor in the Philippines and live among them with not pretense but humility. And so I welcome Pat because she's a special woman. She's a strong woman and she's one of the great defenders of justice. Pat, come and talk to us.
I feel a bit speechless after that, actually. Oh, well, never mind. But thank you very much for the privilege of coming here today. If I reflect on the gospel, I was thinking everything's been said, actually, because the wonderful story about the image of God, and I think that's the basis that we're all made, and everybody's made in the image of God, and our role as Christians and as humans is to respect that and ensure that everybody can live with that dignity. And then with this wonderful, I think it was Barry, was it? Talking about the love, the change of structures, and I'm thinking that's what I believed and that's what I got from the gospel today. I was reflecting on the whole thing of anointing of Jesus, and that anointing was sometimes that he's the king, and we know next week that he will go in with all the supporters. Who are the poor? While the rich are there waiting for him to kill him. So, you know, that whole thing that's going on all the time, that Jesus is offering life to this group. Jesus is showing them how they can live with dignity while the powers that be don't want their powers challenged. And so the whole thing of life and death that I would think was coming up before. And when I was first reading it, the funny thing that came to me was when Mary has anointed Jesus' feet with this very expensive ointment, and Judas is saying, you shouldn't have done that. Now, I was thinking of one of my first experiences in the Philippines, and I lived in the province of Quezon, for those that know Quezon. And we hardly had electricity at all. And I went into Manila, and it was Christmas. And there's all these little fairy lights, you know, all over the trees, over the buildings. And I'm, you know, in my righteous anger is saying, oh, this is disgusting, using up all these resources. I go back to the province and discover people are saving up to go in to see the beauty of these fairy lights. So I think this is a challenge, you know, that all the time challenging to see things from a different perspective, to listen to the poor, to listen to those, you know, from who are looking at from a different perspective. And I think that's what the Philippines was for me. It was an amazing experience of being with people that I'd never... I came from urban Melbourne and I went to rural Philippines, so I couldn't even grow a weed, but all of a sudden, you know, I'm into organic farming and goodness knows what. But seeing the injustice, seeing the poverty of these people, seeing why they were poor, that their land was being taken from them for... especially indigenous peoples, for plantations, for mining, for all those ecologically destructive industries that only benefit the wealthy. And what happens when people start realizing they have a dignity that has to be respected, they have a right to a decent life, and they start organizing and start saying, we want our land, we want services. And what happens with governments that are not responsive to the poor, they start becoming brutal. And that's what's happening. It's been happening for a long time in the Philippines, but it's got worse. And so I have had friends who have been killed. I have friends who are in jail. I have friends who are displaced at present. I have friends who are struggling, who are under threat, who have gone into hiding, all because of that whole thing that was talked about before, this struggle between the light and the dark. And I think that one of the things that I was also reading, you know, when they say, and that it's always worried me, you know, you'll have the poor with you always, so never mind. But when you look at where that came from, Deuteronomy, it's actually about a jubilee year or a Sabbath year where the community was called to restructure, to forgive debts, to let slaves go free, to give them the means of becoming productive, to give them crops, to give them your seeds, give them animals. But realizing that even with that, sometimes things happen, so you always have to be conscious. But it was a challenge to change. And I think that's what where governments react. And they don't like being exposed. And my problem, the last problem was... I'm not usually a noisy person, actually. I'm very quiet. And I wasn't... I've had the wonderful experience of being able to travel a bit because I was the national coordinator of this Rural Missionaries, which is a group of what we call lay and religious, who are specifically working towards the upliftment of rural peoples. So it's advocacy, it's projects, it's all sorts of things. And because I was the national coordinator, I got to meet some wonderful people. And I think, you know, the essence of Mary's thing was she came to see Jesus' life and she loved him. And she wanted to follow, her anointing was saying, I want to follow you because I love you. And I think love, you know, God, Jesus says he wants life to the full for all, and that what our role is to love God and love neighbor. And I think once you start to love people, you really can't bear that they're being exploited or put down or humiliated. And then you start realizing it's a system that's doing this, and that you have to, you certainly have to help people where they are. If they haven't got food, they need food. But you need to ask why. What's causing it that in a world where we've got so much, there are people who haven't got food? There are young children. I watch children die in the province, up in the mountains, that shouldn't have died because the services are not there. And yet there are billionaires in the Philippines. You know, there's something wrong, and that's what you start questioning. And you, being with people and going on fact findings and actually exposing that people are being picked up, that people are in charge, in jail for false charges, like in Mindanao. I talked to some people that had been going to help a community organize, an indigenous community, organize against having their land taken by mining. And the military stopped them, kept them, put their bags away a bit. After an hour, a military car comes with a sack of rice. All of a sudden, they're charged with having explosives in their bag. This goes on all the time. And talking to the families of people who've been killed because they've been organizing or defending, people who all of a sudden found that they were ordinary farmers or workers who all of a sudden have found that they're rebels and they've surrendered because the military invited them in. They've signed a list, you know, promise of rice or something. All of a sudden they're supposedly returned rebels. And, of course, you've heard of the killings of the supposed drug users, some of whom are and some of who aren't. And that's a whole systemic thing too. The police have a quota. On the whole, the police are owning the funeral parlours. One case that did actually go through to conviction of the police was of a young boy, Kian, who's 17, and the barangay captain said the police didn't coordinate her with her, so the CCTV cameras were still on, because there's never CCTV camera footage of when the person's killed. And in this case, the police didn't coordinate. So it's a pattern. So, I mean, when you really care about people, you can't help but try and expose that, trying to help them. And it seems the The authorities don't like that, and that's what happened to Jesus, and that's what we're coming up to, the period where we see that he becomes a victim because of his stand for the poor, because of how he wanted something different for people. He wanted people to live in dignity. He didn't want people excluded. But I think one of the things is we always know we have a resurrection, and that while we are walking with people who are being crucified, and the people are being crucified at this stage of the piece and in the Philippines, and I think more and more I get back here, you know, like the things that are happening here too in terms of refugees, Aboriginals, I think we have to start saying, okay, what's the system that's keeping people down? And I know in the Philippines, the Australian government is giving military aid, and it's got soldiers there in a country where martial law is just rampant, declared or not declared, where people's rights are being trampled on, where people are being persecuted. The group that I belong to, the Rural Missionaries of the Philippines, is now being vilified as a communist front, a front for the rebels, with no proof, no reason. The only reason is because they dare to stand beside the farmers and the indigenous peoples, and this is happening to all the groups that stand beside it. So I think it's a call for us to love our neighbour, but also the neighbour that's close, but the neighbour that we really can't see either, because I think the system that we're living in is a system that's affecting all of us. So I think it's a challenge to love those close, to love the world on the broader scale, to love our earth, and knowing that although sometimes things seem dark, and we're coming up to the passion and death of Jesus, the light always overcomes the darkness, that there is resurrection, that the Spirit is moving among us and calling us to something new and something different and something beautiful, and we can make a difference. So thank you.
For those visiting, please stay and join us for a cup of coffee. And now go from this place in freedom and hope. Go to pour perfume on a troubled world. Go in faith to lift up the fullness of God's grace. May the God of peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, spirit, soul and body, free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.